what I would share with you, I declare in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I'd like to begin with a spoiler alert of sorts, a heads up, if you will, about what to listen for in what I'm about to say, how to listen to what I'd like to share with you this day. It's going to sound very personal, and it's going to sound like it's directed solely at Roberto. You see, today's message is both a sermon, and it's also a charge. It's a spelling out of a duty or responsibility, a delineation, if you will, of certain expectations. So call it advice, call it your marching orders. It's a heads up about what you're called to be and do, and what I hope and pray you'll take away from this day as you begin your shared journey as minister and congregations. So what I'm about to say to you, friends, is as much for you, the members and adherents of St. Andrew's, as it is for your new minister. So although it may sound like I'm speaking directly to Roberto, directly, personally, and solely to him, not so. I would ask you, the members and adherents of St. Andrew's, as you might have been asked when you were in elementary school, boys and girls, I mean ladies and gentlemen, sit up straight, put your feet flat on the floor, pay close attention. If it helps, close your eyes and listen just to the sound of my voice. Or else look directly at me and imagine there's just two of us here in the sanctuary, me and you, and I'm speaking to you directly, one by one, each of you and only to you, and yet to all of you. These words are for all of you, and especially for each of you, not just Roberto. Clear? Are you ready? Okay. Yeah, strap in. First of all, congratulations, Roberto. Welcome to the day of your ordination. And congratulations to you, the people of St. Andrew's, as you induct your new minister. Roberto, you've worked long and hard, and you're to be commended for your efforts and for your accomplishments. And you, members of the congregation of St. Andrew's, in particular, the staff, the board of managers, the elders, the members of the various committees, and last but not least, the search committee. You've all accomplished a tremendous effort in the last 14 months or so, carrying on the work of this congregation, sustaining this congregation's life during this time of transition. I think you should all be pleased and proud of what you've accomplished. Now, having said that, let's not make too big a deal of this occasion, okay? We've welcomed ministers to this congregation before, and while we hope Roberto's ministry will be long and successful and rewarding and of great blessing to God's people and to the wider city in which we live, we know pragmatically he's not going to be here forever. In like manner, as important as this afternoon is to you, Roberto, it's just your ordination. What matters most and what will make the biggest difference is not just what happens today, but what you do with your ordination tomorrow, and the day after, and the day after that, and the day 30 or 40 years down the road from here. God willing, we may be looking at a point like that, whether here or wherever you might be. So that's probably why, in choosing the scripture readings for today's service, I was drawn to the passage from the Acts of the Apostles that Christine read for us a few moments ago. Because here, this afternoon, at the beginning of your ordained ministry, Roberto, we hear this passage from Acts at the end of Paul's ministry. So this afternoon juxtaposes the beginning of your ministry and the end of Paul's, as we read about it in his speech to the elders at Ephesus. In Acts 20, Paul tells them, in part, if only I may finish my course and the ministry that I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the good news of God's grace. Finishing seems to be Paul's primary concern here, Now, there's something important to be learned from that, friends. Where and how you begin doesn't matter nearly as much as where and how you end. Now, I don't know where or how you will end. You don't either. So let these words give you pause for thought. Because I don't know where or how you will end, I'm going to set before you two challenges from Paul's farewell speech here. Are you still listening, St. Andrews?
Yes.
Two challenges from Paul, okay? Give them serious attention. Make them part of your daily spiritual practices. Let them guide you. Let them shape you. Let them form your ministry here at St. Andrews, together with your minister. And Roberto, this applies equally to you as you share your ministry with God's community of the faithful here at St. Andrews. Now, the first challenge is this. Do not shrink. Twice Paul says that about himself to the church at Ephesus. I did not shrink from doing anything helpful, proclaiming the message to you and teaching you publicly and from house to house. And then a few verses later on, he says, I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole purpose of God. So, Roberto, challenge one, do not shrink. Put yourself out there. Don't hide, avoid, withdraw, procrastinate. Make Christ and his redemptive love known by your word and example. And declare to the church the needs and concerns and hopes of the world. And don't hold back. Call us, the church, to task. Don't shrink from the public square or the family home. Do what is helpful and declare the whole purpose of God. But remember this, you are not God's whole purpose. That's neither your burden nor your calling. You're simply a messenger, an envoy, a witness, a revealer of God's whole purpose. Like the story of the little girl who was being dressed up for church on a Sunday morning and asked, Mom and Dad, where are we going? Well, we're going to church to worship God. So they arrive at church and settle themselves in the pew, and the service begins. The minister walks up to the front of the church and takes his place in the pulpit. And the little girl says, Mommy, is that God? And Mommy probably says, no, he only thinks he is. Don't go there. However the temptation, don't go there. And you at St. Andrews, keep them humble, keep them honest. Don't let them go there. But be curious, be courageous. You are not God's whole purpose. It's not your burden, it's not your calling. But you are called to declare God's whole purpose as you figure it out. Figure out what that is. And this applies to you as well, folks of St. Andrews. You too are witnesses of God's grace. Witnesses to the gospel, revealers to the world of God's whole purpose. And again, I can't tell you what that is. I don't know. That's yours to figure out. But I can tell you this. It's more than your ordination, Roberto. Don't shrink from that purpose in your own life or in the lives of those entrusted to you. And the second challenge is this. Don't ever let us see your face again. That's right. Don't ever show your face around here again. Yeah, you're right. That may seem like an odd thing to say. A peculiar expectation, if you will. A curious demand to make. Don't let the people of St. Andrews or the members of this presbytery or the residents of this city or province see your face. Now, you may be wondering, what are you going on about, George? I just got here. The dust is barely settled from the move. What I'm saying, my friend, is get out of the way. Get out of your own way. Be transparent. Be an icon. Be a model of Jesus in your speech and in your actions and in your manner. That is to say, when we look at you, let us see Jesus. When we hear you speak and preach and teach, let us hear the words of Jesus. That's what Paul did. In his letter to the Galatians, you'll recall Paul declaring that it was no longer himself, Paul, who lives, but Christ who lives in me. It is no longer I who live, says Paul, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live, I live for the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Be aware, however, that's what got Paul killed. And Paul knows it. That's why he says to the church elders, "And now I know that none of you will ever see my face again." So that was operating on a couple of different levels, each equally true, each equally valued, each equally important to remember. You see, there'll be a variety of times, for a variety of reasons, you'll want to be seen and recognized and noticed. You'll be tempted to show us your face. Don't. This calling and your ordination are not about you. Today, you're being ordained into a purpose greater than yourself. You are taking vows to a loyalty far outside yourself. You're making a commitment to a vision beyond your own. Don't let your face be seen. Let us see the face of Christ. There'll also be times when people will say to you how well you're doing, how much they like you, what a difference you're making in their lives and in the life of the congregation. Don't listen to it. Don't listen to it. Because there'll be equally other times when they're going to be annoyed with you or even angry at you, in disagreement or disappointed with you. Some may not even like you. Don't listen to that either. Don't let the compliments go to your head, but don't let the criticisms be the measure of your self-esteem. Don't invest yourself in any of those responses. If you do, you'll only end up showing us your face, not the face of Christ. Remember John the Baptist's declaration in the Gospel of John concerning himself and Jesus, whom he came to announce, how John must decrease so that Christ might increase? That's your role. You're not the one sent from God, but like John, you've been sent to be the messenger, the envoy. Announce him. Don't let others see your face. So here we have two challenges, friends. Challenges that appear to be at odds with one another, seeming to be diametrically opposed. What do you do with that? How do you respond? Quite a number of years ago, very early on in my ministry, I had an opportunity to do, along with Beth Ann, my wife, a two-week continuing education event sponsored by the Alban Institute. And during that time, we met with ministers and priests and pastors from all across the U.S. and Canada, and even some from Europe. One of the people I met while there, and with whom I've maintained a collegial relationship all these years, was a guy by the name of Mike Marsh. Mike is an Episcopalian priest from Corpus Christi, Texas. Now, Mike had a warped sense of humor, which is why we got along, I think, initially. But Mike's spiritual discipline and his depth became a real source of inspiration to me, then and even now. We get together online for study groups, and he maintains a blog. But I recall an insight he shared on this passage from Acts, and it's at the heart of what I wanted to share with you today, friends. And it's this. As we consider those two challenges that Paul sets before us in the passage today, we're confronted by two goals or two objectives that appear to be impossible to pursue, much less achieve, if undertaken at the same time. On the one hand, do not shrink. On the other hand, don't let us ever see your face. Do you hear the tension, the paradox? That was the insight that Mike shared with me. Do you hear the tension, the paradox in those two challenges? On the one hand, do not shrink. On the other hand, don't let us ever see your face out there. Be out there, but don't show yourself. That's the tension into which you are stepping today, my friend. That's the tension into which you are going out to continue being the church in this community. That's the paradox into which you are being called. It's not one or the other. It's both at the same time. And that tension, the tension in that paradox, will pull and tug at you. It'll feel at times like you're being torn apart. The tension that is what will hold you together, though. You see, there'll be days when you're disillusioned by the church. That applies equally to congregational members as to ministers. There'll be days when you feel disillusioned by the church, disappointed by the people, or in disagreement with your colleagues. Hold the tension. Stand in the paradox. There'll be days when you feel lost, hurt, or overwhelmed. Hold the tension. Stand in the paradox. There'll be days when you recognize and know yourself in a deeper and more profound way. Hold the tension. Stand in that paradox. There'll be days when everything just fits so right, and you'll know beyond a doubt who you are and where you're called to be and what you're about to be doing. Hold the tension. Stand in the paradox. There'll be days when you touch the mystery. You'll weep with joy and live with profound gratitude. Hold the tension. Stand in the paradox. It's a struggle that continues to be a part of the whole of one's being and the whole of one's life. You see, regardless of what happens or how you feel or what the day brings, hold the tension and stand in the paradox. Do not shrink and do not let your face be seen. You see, every time you hold this tension, every time you stand in this paradox, you become what Paul calls a captive to the Spirit. You see, friends, when we're captive to the Spirit, we're no longer captive to ourselves. We're no longer a captive to our successes or our failures, to things done or left undone, to praises or criticisms, to the voices in our heads or the feelings in our hearts. Holding the tension and standing in the paradox means taking ourselves outside of ourselves and beyond ourselves. And all we want, all of us really want to be connected to something bigger than ourselves, don't we? There's freedom and opportunity both in being a captive to the Spirit, as paradoxical as it sounds. There's freedom and opportunity in being a captive to the Spirit. It's a freedom to become more fully yourself, and also an opportunity to be clothed with power from on high, as Jesus promised to his disciples in Luke's gospel. So what might that mean for you, Roberto? For you, friends? How will you embody that freedom and that opportunity as followers of Jesus Christ? What does it mean for you yourselves to become clothed with power? What does that look like? Do not shrink, and do not ever let others see your face. That's the work and the challenge before you, for each of you and all of you, congregation and minister. Striving to master it, seeking to model it for the congregation and the wider church, for this community and the wider world. There's no trick or method to holding the tension and standing in the paradox. It's not something you do. Rather, it's a way of being. It is the way of Christ. And my hope and prayer for you, Roberto, and for you, my friends here at St. Andrews, my hope and prayer is that together it will become your way to the glory of God. Amen. To the one in whom we live and move and have our being, whose touch is a tongue of fire and whose love is our strength and our song, be glory and praise, honor and thanksgiving forever and ever. Amen.